11, possession and importation, dead wildlife and transportation of elk coos, briefing and public hearing. She's telling me what's it. Okay.
All right. The next agenda item that we're bringing before you pertains to three WACs, the possession of dead wildlife WAC, the importation and retention of dead non-resident wildlife, and reducing the spread of hoof disease, unlawful transport of elk coos. So the first one we'll cover is possession of dead wildlife. And really why we're working with this WAC this year is because there's been a fair amount of interest in developing a roadkill salvage program for the state of Washington. Interest from multiple sources to allow the retention of vehicle-killed wildlife. We have some neighboring states that already have existing programs. In Montana and Idaho. The first one is the Montana website where they talk about and explain that. This is the Idaho website where they go into roadkill salvage. Some of the differences and some of the aspects of the two states that we're familiar with. In Montana, they allow the salvage of most, but not all, of the big game ungulates. They don't allow bighorn sheep and mountain goats, but just about everything else. And then Idaho, a little more comprehensive. They allow upland game, big game, and fur bearers. There's a permitting method for both of those states. Montana has both an online permit system, but permits can also be issued by enforcement agents on site. Idaho has a similar online permit system, and then there is a time frame when one is engaging in this undertaking. In Montana, you have 24 hours to obtain your salvage permit. Idaho, you have a couple of steps. You have to notify within 24 hours, and then you have to have your permit by 72 hours, and right now, neither of those states charge for that. We did a fair amount of outreach internally at the cross program and regional standpoints. As expected, there were a fair number of concerns raised having to do with things like safety, using this as a sort of a poaching cover, trespass issues. So our folks reached out to the folks in Montana and Idaho, talked to them about some of these concerns, and they said that they had the very same similar concerns when they started their programs. Once they got their programs up and running, they said that they really didn't see those kind of problems become much of an issue in their experience. So the proposed changes to the WAC go something like this. We would allow the possession of deer or elk that are accidentally killed by a vehicle. We'd require Washington citizens to require to acquire a salvage permit within 24 hours, and we'd do that either through an online or a regional office portal. Initially, the way the rule was written, we were asking or suggesting that antlers be surrendered. I'm going to circle back to that before I get to the end of the presentation because we've adjusted that thinking. We're recommending that the entire carcass be salvaged. We don't want folks processing roadkill animals on the side of the road, more of a safety issue than anything else, or sort of picking and choosing their favorite cuts of meat. And then, of course, disposal is going to be covered, as it always is covered, by some Fish and Wildlife wax and some Department of Health wax. And we would have the rule, or propose the rule, not be active until July, because there's a few things of infrastructure that we'd have to get in place and get up and running. So some of the rationale behind these ideas, being responsive to the public's concerns and desires, it does allow the salvage of edible meat, and it would allow the activity without being overly burdensome. Note the something like the online permit system. I really wish that screen was not so light, because that's a great photo of an elk walking in front of a semi-truck. We get a lot of public comment on this WAC. The vast majority of the comments supported the rule proposal. We had some commenters that requested that they not have to surrender the antlers of a salvaged animal. Some of the reasons that they gave were it would be a more straightforward process for the public to salvage animals. They didn't really want to be put through that extra step. And then also noted by both internally and externally is that it would require less staff time and less storage resources if antlers weren't asked to be surrendered. This has the potential to turn into a bit of a major extra workload and storage space issue if we were going to start requiring everybody to come in and surrender antlers of animals that they've salvaged. And so, related to that, this is where we sort of changed our thinking in terms of the way the rule was initially written. If you look at page 3 of your notebook on this agenda item, you'll find section 3C that speaks to this part that we're proposing to adjust. So page 3, section 3C, slow me down if you're not there yet. And so what we're proposing is, as the floor changes, to remove the following language. And that reads, if the salvaged deer or elk has antlers, the antlers must be surrendered to a department, regional, or district office within 72 hours of being salvaged. We're proposing, as a floor change, that we strike that section, take that out. And when we come to you in April, we'll have that modified. And coming back to some of the points made earlier, the intention of the rule is not to inadvertently create a violation that stems from road salvage. And so under the authority of the RCWs that would work with this WAC, if someone was trying to do the right thing, but they inadvertently broke the rules, they'd be on the hook for a fairly serious citation, fine, potentially losing hunting rights, that sort of a thing. We're not trying to set people up to have a problem or to inadvertently get into trouble. And so that's another rationale behind getting away from that that antler surrender bit. So they're supposed to say right at the top there, questions for this WAC. Somehow that got lost. But
Mr. Keeney,
if I can answer any questions on this one, happy to do so.
Thank you. I really appreciate the work that staff did on this, and in a relatively quick order. I think I might have helped start this discussion, because I was traveling to Utah hunting, and we were always seeing dead elk and deer along the road in Montana, and then occasionally we see people stop picking them up. And my two hunting partners, John and Jan, said, "You're on the commission, aren't you? Well, come, we can't do that." So I came back and just simply asked the question, and staff has done a great job of looking into it, and I really appreciate that, because I think it makes sense. Every hunter I've ever talked to says, well, it's about time. A lot of the great comments that came through that I read were, you know, hey, cool, you're giving something back to us for once. So I think people that you know, hunt and appreciate the animal, hate to see the waste, and not even if you're the one that hit it. I want to make sure I understand that. If you see a dead animal lying alongside the road that someone chose not to take, it's not just that your vehicle has to hit it to claim that animal. You can clean that animal up, take it off the roadside, take it home and process it if you want to. You're shaking your head, correct?
Right.
Second, will the online reporting mechanism, which if you've tried the one in Montana, it's really simple, will that be up and running then by July?
We sure hope so.
Okay.
We'll do everything that we can. I can't promise cross-program instantaneous success, but we'll do our darndest.
Okay. And then finally, I see that you've not included moose, and I read it and understand that you're saying, well, let's give elk and deer a try. And I don't see any reason not to include moose in the future, but if this is where we're headed now, that seems reasonable.
Right. And we're kind of taking the approach on the include moose, don't include moose, from a couple of different standpoints. One is that can we get a deer and elk program up and running and see how it works for us? Because this has the potential to not be perfect right out of the box. So there's a chance that we're going to have to come back to you over time and do some adjustments and tweaking to make this thing work the way everybody wants it to work. And so the thought was, well, let's start with deer and elk and see how that goes. The other thought is that you know, moose are a once-in-a-lifetime hunting opportunity, and so it philosophically, both internally and externally, it's not sitting as well with everyone that we would include moose in this sort of a package, especially when we've gotten to the point where we're not going to require folks to surrender antlers. And so that sort of is a factor in hunters' minds who are year after year putting in for that once in a lifetime moose permit. So not sure where we're going in the future with moose on this one, but that's how we landed where we're at right now.
Well, again, thanks for the good work. I think it's going to be a good whack, and I think it's, you know, all I've heard is good things about it, so from people I've talked with.
Mr. Holton.
Thank you, Chair. I'm just going to speak in agreement with my other brother, Jay. couldn't agree more with what he said. He brought this back here a year or two ago, and you kind of giggle at first, but the more you think about it, the better you like it. And because there again, see it go to waste. And in my other world, working for the road department, we spend a lot of time going around picking up deer carcasses. And so that hopefully will alleviate some of that. One thing, I'm going to give you a little bit of a heads up, because our local food bank, there again, coming from a hunting culture part of the world, some of the local food bank guys come and ask us if they could have the deer that we pick up so they could salvage them. And, well, I told them, I said, well, this was in the works. So that might be something that you may be facing here one of these days, where like the part where we have to go pick up a deer, if it's good and clean, you know, not banged up too bad, we could give it to the food bank where they could get some salvage out of it too. So
right.
Something to maybe have in the back of your mind. But no, I couldn't be more supportive of this. This is a great idea. Thank you.
It was a hit, Jerry. All right. The next WAC is importation and retention of dead non-resident wildlife, WAC 232-12-021. This WAC is really directed at animals harvested in states that currently have chronic wasting disease in their wild populations. That's deer, elk, and moose. And so this proposed change is linked to that. The state of Washington requires additional processing of meat hides and skulls before folks can bring those animals home to Washington if they're harvesting those animals in a state that does have chronic wasting disease in their wild populations. Our proposal adds Michigan to the list of states and provinces requiring additional processing. If
If you all remember, last week we talked a lot about, or last year, we talked a lot about Michigan. And we assured the commission that Michigan was not one of the states at that time in March and April that had reported a detection of chronic wasting disease in their wild populations. Well, in May they did. So shortly after we had those commission meetings, Michigan came out with their first detection in wild populations. If you look at this map, this is a map from the Chronic Wasting Disease Alliance. And so the light colored green states and provinces are areas where they've found the disease in captive deer and elk farms. And then the yellow areas are where they've found it in wild and free-ranging populations, and that's really what we're focusing on here. And so Michigan finally came up with a positive detection, and so we would ask that if Chair Smith knows about any other states coming on the horizon, that he would please let us know as soon as he can. So we could get those added to the
first
list.
First was free. I'll charge for the other.
Research has shown that chronic wasting disease can persist in both soil and plants. And so the intention of the rule is to try to reduce the risk of CWD coming into Washington State. And what we're really looking at here is that if folks were to bring animals home from one of these other states, they do their processing at home, and any of the scraps or trim that wind up thrown out in the backyard or out in the back 40, that has at least the potential to persist in the environment and infect some of our native deer and elk and moose. And so this proposal makes an emergency rule permanent that you probably saw not too long ago. And to date, Washington has not detected CWD in any of our populations, any of our testing. And so we're very happy about that, and we're going to try to keep that going as much as we can. And so if there are any questions on 232-12-021, I'd be happy to try to address them.
Mr. Thornburg.
Thanks, Jerry. It just mentions disposed of in an appropriate manner. Is there a definition of what that is?
Yes, there's another WAC that speaks to that.
Okay.
So, yes.
Any other questions? Yes.
Thank you. Thank you, Commissioner. The proposed change has a require a salvage permit within 24 hours. This is back the prior presentation.
Yes.
I'm just curious, what's the dollar amount for the salvage permit and the rationale for requiring a permit?
Well, the rationale for requiring a permit is that we want to know who's doing this and where they're doing it and be able to track how this is taking place and how the program is functioning for us. And there are some concerns about folks doing things that they shouldn't be doing under the guise of this new program. As far as the cost, right now I don't think we have a cost in mind. I think we're thinking that it would function the way Montana and Idaho does, and there wouldn't be a cost.
Okay, so it would be a permit for free. Basically, you just have to register.
Essentially.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, good. Thanks.
And speaking of that, Bob, Jerry had mentioned Idaho and Montana in outdoor life here, I don't know, a few months back. There's quite a few states that actually allow this.
I think there are. We haven't gone out and figured out all 50 states and who does it or who doesn't do it, but the more we talk to folks about that particular rule, we're continually hearing from folks that say, oh yeah, I used to live so-and-so a place, or I came from that state and that's always been allowed, or it's been allowed for a long time. It's not we're not three states that are unique to
No, it was like 20-some states, and everybody had glowing reviews of it, and they were all, and just like Jerry said, this way it, you don't end up with chronic car killers. But the price of a rig, you're not going to go whack a buck with a car just because you're hungry, because, you know, it's just too much money. Everybody's had really good luck with the deal, and it's just a little reporting so that, like Jerry said, it's...
Yes.
And also, as I recall from talking with the folks in Montana, that you know, you can't dispense with an animal that you find along the road that's not dead, shoot it, and then take it home, because that would just open the door for all kinds of, you know, illegal activities. You shoot an animal in the woods and take it home and say, I found it alongside the road. So I also believe the reporting element of this was to allow some element of spot check, you know, on people that have used the permit. Those carcasses or that meat could be investigated if the department decides we're going to do a 5% spot check on these. You know, before they get processed, we're going to go take a look at some of these animals and make sure that they're really road kills and not rifle kills in the woods trying to act like a road kill.
That's correct. Yeah, that's absolutely correct. And we do address in the rule language the part about euthanizing injured animals on the side of the road. We don't want folks doing that. That's a job for law enforcement. That's in part of the rule language as well.
Thanks. Thank you, Jerry.
Okay.
Very informative, as usual.
All right. And the next one is reducing the spread of hoof disease, unlawful transport of hooves. This is a fairly new WAC, WAC 232-12-286. This WAC sprung from our development of hoof disease in elk in southwestern Washington. The rule is intended to reduce the risk of spreading the causative agents of treponema-associated hoof disease, TAHD. We're trying to get everybody to use that terminology these days. It is a treponema-associated hoof disease. It is not hoof rot. That's something completely different than what we're seeing here, a completely different disease. And so the proposed amendment helps us facilitate research related to TAHD. This was an emergency rule that we put in place in the fall. It helped us collect hooves from hunters during the November special permit hunts to facilitate some of that disease research. And we'll be continuing to do that as we move forward. We've got several prongs of work working on hoof disease in terms of a survival study that's looking at survival and productivity of animals. We're trying to get a better handle on prevalence and distribution. And of course, another aspect of that is really trying to get as much help from hunters as we possibly can to try to potentially maybe come up with a scoring system that would be reliable. We're sort of doing some pilot work now to compare what our veterinarians and the veterinarians from State Ag would score a hoof sample compared to what our hunters are scoring those with some very straightforward photographs and see if those are matching up and seeing if those are comparable. The proposal makes the emergency rule permanent. And currently this rule applies to the GMUs in Region 5 and Region 6 where we're confident that we have hoof disease in elk. I know some of you have probably heard that we were looking at a suspect hoof sample up in Region 4 in GMU 418. We collected four samples up there recently. Three of those came from hunter harvested animals and one that came from a roadkill animal on Highway 20. The roadkill animal, the three hunter harvested animals came back as they had hoof problems, but it didn't have anything to do with TAHD. The fourth animal, the roadkill animal, at first inspection at the first laboratory looked suspicious, thought it could possibly be TAHD. So we then sent additional samples off to Washington State University. That initial work was done at Colorado State University. We sent additional samples off to Washington State University and the USDA laboratory in Ames, Iowa. Both of those independent labs came back that they did PCR DNA work trying to identify the specific bacteria that are associated with this disease, and neither one of those labs were able to come back with a confirmation that this was hoof disease. So for the short term, we feel like we've sort of dodged a bullet. There is quite a bit of space and difference between where we currently have the disease and way up in GMU 418. But we're taking this very seriously. We're going to continue to do targeted surveillance and collecting animals that appear to be limping and potentially have problems, and continue to test those as time goes by. And so part of what we're proposing today to make permanent will help us also with additional hooves being collected from hunters as well, not just staff.
So just so I understand, the permanent rule now is that you cannot remove hoofs from THD GMUs. You leave them in the fields unless it's for research. So the hunters that would be doing this for research are part of a program of research.
Correct. So Okay. Those hunters, they had special permits. We knew who they were. We reached out to those folks. Everybody who had a permit received, well, within reason, on the hunts that we identified that would be helpful. All of those hunters received a sampling kit, four bags for each hoof and a great big bag to put everything in, and then data sheets and scorecards, and then given instructions on where they can get those samples back to us. They didn't have to throw them in the mail and FedEx them to us. We had collection sites throughout the region, and so yes, that's what that was intended for, is to get those folks to help us with that collection and that research.
Thank you.
All right. That winds it up for you for the moment.